Some fascinating coaching hires around the NFL. It's Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Bo Brock. Give me a follow on Twitter, at Bob Brack. Follow the show, at Locked On AZ Cards. Follow my absentee co-host, Alex Clancy, at Clancy's Corner as well. Thank you for joining me on this Tuesday edition of the podcast. Yeah, mentioned it. So Matt Rhule making the jump from the Big 12, much like Cliff Kingsbury did, but in a very different fashion. Matt Rhule was a very wanted man. He was not let go by his alma mater like Cliff Kingsbury at Texas Tech. But Matt Rhule goes from Baylor to the Carolina Panthers, signing a reported lucrative deal to become the Panthers' next head coach. Also, we saw the domino of Mike McCarthy kind of fall in place with the Dallas Cowboys yesterday. Now, also, we're seeing that Joe Judge, who? Joe Judge, wide receiver coach from the New England Patriots. Looks like he's going to be the next New York Giants head coach. He takes over for the fired Pat Shurmur. Joe Judge has ties not only in New England to Bill Belichick, but also ties to Alabama's Nick Saban. So a lot of people looking at his coaching pedigree and Joe Judge getting the opportunity in East Rutherford to develop Daniel Jones at the quarterback position and continue to work with just a huge playmaker in Saquon Barkley with the New York Giants. But so Judge hired, you've got Rhule hired, McCarthy hired, Ron Rivera hired. I mean, the NFC East is featuring three brand new head coaches. Of course, Rivera, he just did it for a while in Carolina, but he's now at the head of in Washington. As long also coming over with him at the defensive coordinator position is Jack Del Rio. Now, also there's reports that that Jason Garrett could just be going to the Giants at an offensive coordinator position, which would be interesting to see as well. But lots of fascinating news. I think that the Cardinals are pretty content with the fact that they have Cliff Kingsbury in place. Coming up in the podcast as well, we're going to look at what some of the offseason needs that the Cardinals have. Now, I saw ESPN.com and Josh Weinfuss published what they feel is the biggest need for the Arizona Cardinals, and I kind of take issue with it. And we'll get into it, even though I really respect Josh Weinfuss and love the work he does. We'll tell you what they feel is the biggest need for the Cardinals and what I feel is the biggest need. The Arizona Cardinals 2020 schedule isn't set, but their opponents are. That's your Locked On Cardinals lead story. I'm your host, Bo Brock. So we've heard the last couple weeks who the Cardinals will face off. Actually, it's something that you can find out, look up on your own, and you can just let me Google that for you. But the Cardinals tweeted it out. They put it up on their Instagram, who they're facing off with in 2020. And I always feel like it's an interesting thing to kind of talk about, discuss, try to forecast how the Cardinals will do just glancing at their 2020 schedule. And here are their opponents, who they're going to actually host. The Buffalo Bills come to State Farm Stadium. Miami Dolphins come to State Farm Stadium. Philadelphia Eagles, Washington Redskins, Detroit Lions, and of course, the Arizona Cardinals, NFC West foes, Seattle, LA, and San Francisco. As far as who the Cardinals hit the road and face off against, they go up to Foxborough. They take on the New England Patriots, Carolina Panthers, New York Jets, New York Giants, Dallas Cowboys. It's going to be a fun 2020. I gotta say, I really enjoy this schedule. Looking at the NFC East, there's lots of different moving parts that make those already fascinating. You've got Washington that's trying to rebuild that franchise that's just been in disarray for such a long time. Looks like a guy like Ron Rivera can come up and maybe bring some consistency, continuity to that organization. Also, he brought in hand defensive coordinator, former head coach Jack Del Rio. So it'll be interesting to see what Washington looks like in 2020. Dwayne Haskins, it'll be his sophomore season, 7 touchdown passes, 7 interceptions. We'll see what Washington looks like. And they could also be bringing in tow Chase Young, the dynamic pass rusher out of Ohio State. So Washington's an interesting team to come visit State Farm Stadium. Philadelphia, of course, we'll see what they look like in 2020. Carson Wentz, his status, a guy that's been fighting off injury for the last couple seasons, it feels like. Jim Schwartz, he could be a guy that could be in line for a head coaching position, but most of those filling up these days. But Detroit, we got another rematch with Detroit. The Arizona Cardinals, they tied, of course, to open up their 2019 season. Kyler Murray and gang kind of waking up after a quiet 3+ quarters, ended up roaring back and tying Matthew Stafford and the Lions to open up things 27-27. This is a team that a lot of Cardinals fans are familiar with, because it feels like in the last decade these two teams have just squared off. I don't know if they're just like their de facto non-divisional rivalry that the NFL just keeps placing these two teams up against each other. Then you've got Miami Dolphins. That game's intriguing because Josh Rosen could return. But a lot can happen between now and then. Does Josh Rosen become I think that he becomes expendable. He's been expendable his two seasons so far in Miami. Looks like Ryan Fitzpatrick, no matter what the Dolphins do in the draft, if they go at the quarterback position, that they're going to, could they get a guy like Tua? Could they get a guy like Joe Burrow? Could they get a guy like Josh Herbert? Could he be the next franchise quarterback? And then they've got, that stopgap with a bridge of Ryan Fitzpatrick still in Miami. Who's going to be starting quarterback? Of course, you got the playoff Bills. Bills are going to feature. They're still going to have a tough defense coming into town. Josh Allen is going to be in his third season. Those are going to be some fun games to watch. Now, as far as, is as exciting as the home slate is, when I look at this this road slate, it's even more exciting. Anytime you can have a schedule that features your team visiting some, not just historic, but just famous venues like the Jerry Dome in Arlington to take on the Dallas Cowboys, or to go up to Foxborough and take on the New England Patriots, regardless if they have Tom Brady as their quarterback, it's exciting. It's exciting to fire up on the TV. It's exciting to maybe try to plan out a road trip. But the New England Patriots and the Dallas Cowboys, anytime you see them on their schedule, that's awesome. And then a couple trips to East Rutherford. Maybe the NFL will be kind to the Cardinals and maybe kind of help them out in strategically placing their two games in New Jersey against the New York teams and the Jets and the Giants and that New England game. But we'll see what the NFL does. Sometimes they have they got their own reasoning, and we'll see what they do. And then Carolina, that's going to be an interesting team. What's going to happen this offseason? They pay big money for Matt Rhule to pluck him away from Baylor. What's that squad going to look like under Rhule? Is it going to be a team that's going to be led by Cam Newton? Or is it going to be a team that's going to be led by a young Kyle Allen, who we saw beat the Cardinals last year? Or is it going to be somebody that they drafted or they went out and got off out of free agency? But nonetheless, looks like a fun 2020 season. Can't wait to preview it even more. We're going to have off-season worth of time to do so. We will see where all these games are slotted as far as the 2020 slate is concerned come April. Coming up next, ESPN has identified what they feel is the Cardinals' biggest 2020 off-season need. I think it's ridiculous. I'll tell you why, what it is, and why next. It's Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Bo Brock. It's divisional week, divisional round of the postseason. This has got to be one of the best weekends in sports. I mean, I love wild card weekend, but once you kind of, there are a couple teams in there that, you've got the Eagles who snuck into the playoffs because the NFC West was just a disaster this year. So this year, you kind of, the cream is rising and you're starting to see a couple better matchups. But man, four games this weekend, two on Saturday and two on Sunday. You've got the Vikings and Niners kicking things off. That should be a great game. I can't believe that the Vikings were able to do what they did against New Orleans last weekend. And now they've got a tough challenge on the road, taking on the Niners. Then you've got the Titans, who shocked everybody with the victory over the Patriots. They visit just the buzzsaw that is the Baltimore Ravens. And then on Sunday, the early games, the Texans taking on the Chiefs, and then later wrapping things up for a huge weekend of football. Green Bay playing host to the Seahawks, and man, how big is the home field advantage look right now that the Seahawks have to go to Lambeau and take on Aaron Rodgers? But Russell Wilson, notoriously a big-time player on the road in the postseason in his career. I'm looking forward to it. Of course, you can listen to Locked On NFL, Matt Williamson, Brian Peacock, previewing all these games, as well as the isolated podcast. Just like Locked On Cardinals, there's Locked On Vikings, Locked On Niners with Brian Peacock, Locked On Titans, Locked On Ravens. I mean, it goes on, and all those are great podcasts. And if you want to gear up for the weekend, I highly recommend checking them out, or listen to them on Google News with just the latest, most important, pertinent information about each and one of these, every one of these teams leading up to the divisional round of the NFL postseason. It is Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Just real quick, before we get into what ESPN has identified as the Cardinals' biggest need in the 2020 offseason, when I look at this slate of games this weekend, I see the Ravens and I see the Chiefs, and they might be the faves in the AFC, but as far as the NFC is concerned, I really don't get a big-time feeling between who I think the favorite should be as far as the Packers and the Seahawks. And if Kirk Cousins, and this is a big if Kirk Cousins can play as well as he did last week, and I know Kirk Cousins is usually, especially in a prime time game, is really just fallen at the wayside. I don't get the sense out of the NFC that somebody's a overwhelming favorite. I could be crazy, you know, San Francisco with their pass rush, their defense overall, how well Richard Sherman's playing in the secondary, and the emergence of Jimmy G. And maybe I'm stupid for not thinking that the Niners are the clear-cut favorite, but it's going to be a fun weekend of football. Can't wait to see how these playoffs really play out. But so looking at ESPN.com, they have done I'm looking forward to an offseason worth of content from ESPN.com, but they have identified needs for all 32 NFL teams this 2020 offseason. And what they think that the Arizona Cardinals need to do is solve the wide receiver issue. And it's really been like the way Josh Weinquist lays it out is whether or not Fitz returns, Larry Fitzgerald, the Cardinals need to find a number one wide receiver for Kyler Murray. And, you know, looking at free agency, they can do it. They can look at maybe a top 10 pick, utilize their eighth overall selection. And kind of bolster their wide receiver room. And they tried to do that last year, and we saw how the draft played out. They thought they had guys, diamonds in the rough, and Andy Isabella and Keyshawn Johnson, and those guys flashed in the preseason. They had, you know, little flashes in the regular season, but the consistency wasn't there. I mean, you had a second-round pick that probably didn't merit a second-round pick out of UMass, undersized, speedy wide receiver, and Andy Isabella, who put up big numbers as far as the FCS is concerned. But he had one big play for the Cardinals this season. One. And he was chosen over DK Metcalf, who nearly had 1,000 yards receiving, had 160 yards receiving in the wild card win for the Seahawks in the playoffs. We can debate that all we want, but those are the facts. And then the Cardinals also selected out of Iowa State just a freak of nature, physical specimen, athlete, Hakeem Butler, who's got size, speed, and athleticism. As far as his hands are concerned, we'll see. It didn't help that he fractured a hand in the preseason. We didn't see Butler at all. So out of the three receivers that you drafted, you got minimal results. Christian Kirk flashed. Three touchdown game against Tampa Bay. I thought he had a couple games. I thought Christian Kirk finished pretty strong. But Christian Kirk didn't show the consistency that you needed to say, hey, we see progress. We absolutely do. But as far as Christian Kirk elevating his status to number one wide receiver, hey, 68 catches, 709 yards, and three touchdowns, following up, you know, a 500-yard performance in his rookie year, we're seeing step-by-step progress. Is next year a 1,000-yard receiving for Christian Kirk? It's certainly possible. But is he your number one guy? Look, I don't see wide receiver is an issue for the Cardinals because of the progress we've seen from Kirk and because of the prospect of Larry Fitzgerald coming back and because of seeing where the development is going to be for guys like Butler, who we didn't get to see, Keyshawn Johnson, who was kind of a forgotten man, and then, of course, Andy Isabella, who redshirted his first year. I see that as the wide receiver position is one that you don't need to fill out your roster with huge names. You just have to, the name of the game is identifying prospects and developing them. The Cardinals have now identified the prospects. They have to develop these guys. If you want to add to it, I don't think it's going to be a big name. I don't think you even sniff the possibility of an Antonio Brown type character. And there's just not much as far as going out there and being able to get a guy at the wide receiver position. You don't want to pay those guys big money, because especially in an offense where the ball should go anywhere and everywhere on any given play in the air raid, that you don't need a big name. And drafting and developing, I mean, that's where most wide receivers come from. You know, it's New Orleans draft plucking Michael Thomas out of Ohio State, developing him within that offense. I want to see the Cardinals maybe look, if they want to draft a guy, don't do it with the first round pick. We kind of wavered back and forth. You know, is it a Jerry Jeudy type guy out of Alabama? Do you want a CeeDee Lamb out of Oklahoma? Look, those are guys that are going to get drafted high, likely first round picks. But I don't think the Cardinals should be the team to do that. Go out there and get a guy that's had some success in the NFL and free agency. Absolutely do that. But I just don't see that as their number one need. Number one is to address the defense. The defense was an absolute liability this season. Even with Patrick Peterson coming back, there wasn't the consistency week in and week out the final 10 weeks or final 10 games to say, hey, we're gonna move forward. You've got big money as far as free agency, cap space. Go out there and get a big-time defensive player. And also, unless you want to get Andrew Thomas and solidify that offensive line, the big tackle out of Georgia, then kind of hold off and go defense. There's some intriguing defensive backs out there that I like a lot, And helping guys like continue. I mean, if you go back to back, you spend a second round pick on Byron Murphy, and if you want to move him to the slot, and if he can become very effective and impactful in the slot, and then maybe find somebody that can play, be a cover corner along with Patrick Peterson, then you're cooking with gas. And that's what I'm talking about. I've talked about it already so far in these offseason editions of the podcast, is you need to create a strength. And look, you've got it at the quarterback position. And I think Kyler Murray is going to elevate the game of whoever's in the, you know, in the wide receiver room. And we'll see what they do with the running back position. But I don't see those as a desperate need. We saw improvement. We saw better play from the offensive line to end the season. Not enough to say, hey, let's run it back. But for the most part, let's continue some continuity across that line. And I'm not as deeply concerned with it as I was a couple weeks ago. But that defense, I am absolutely concerned with it. You've got some talent in the defense. You've got Buda Baker, who received all pro votes. He got four of them this year. He's making the Pro Bowl. He was a tackling machine. Jordan Hicks, just the same, tackling machine. Yes, great, great contract this past offseason. Chandler Jones, absolute monster getting after the football. But it really seems like if you can put a pass rusher opposite Chandler Jones, or find a disruptive interior defensive lineman, that would make things so much easier for this defense. Or you can find another linebacker to help out Jordan Hicks, so Buda Baker isn't getting as many tackling opportunities. I think that the Arizona Cardinals can absolutely revamp this defense this offseason, and I that's what I identify as their biggest offseason need in 2020. It's Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Give me a follow on Twitter at Bob Brack. My name is Bo Brack. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter as well at Locked On AZ Cards. Coming up next, why the NFC playoffs proves my point about the defense and how important it is to get more talent on the defensive side of the football. That's next. Looks like the Cleveland Browns are eyeing Saturday is when they'll make their decision as far as head coach. Looking at a couple of the candidates, Freddie Kitchen fired after just one season. They've had a week of injuries, already met with Chief Offensive Coordinator Eric Bieniemy, Ravens Offensive Coordinator Greg Roman, Niners Defensive Coach Robert Saleh. You've got Jim Schwartz from Eagles DC scheduled to interview with the opening on Wednesday or tomorrow, Vikings OC Kevin Stefanski, and then the Patriots OC Josh McDaniels on Friday. I don't know if, McDaniels is intriguing, pairing him with a guy like Baker Mayfield, but we've seen McDaniels turn down some coaching opportunities, because you got to think at some point McDaniels thinks he might have potential to become the successor there in New England. Jim Schwartz. He wasn't very successful his first stint as a head coach in Detroit. And then you've got some unknowns as far as Bieniemy. He's the offensive coordinator, but Andy Reid handles a lot of the OC duties as far as Kansas City. And, of course, is it just that he's got such a dynamic quarterback in Patrick Mahomes? Same thing with Greg Roman. But Roman's had success with San Francisco and now Baltimore. We'll see there. And Stefanski's relatively new on the job, just took over play-calling duties for the Vikings late last season. Or late 2018 season, I should say. But the Browns searching for their head coach. Look, when I look at this NFL postseason and I watch the games in the wild card round, and now I look at these teams that are remaining in the divisional round, I see teams that are able to play the defensive side of the football. Absolutely, in the late game on Sunday, the Seahawks and Packers, I think that a lot of people would agree that those are some solid defensive units. The only game that I don't see where the defensive side of the football is emphasized by really either team is Houston, Kansas City. But they've played defense just enough for their teams and their offenses to get the job done, enough for them to make it this far in the 2019 season. But Tennessee, you know, they hold Tom Brady and that Patriots offense to 13 points. Baltimore, we know what they've done since they acquired Marcus Peters from the Ravens or from the Rams earlier this year, and it's just been a different defense. And couple that with the incredible display of offense that Lamar Jackson and Greg Roman and those guys are able to put on each and every week. It's just, the Ravens have to be the clear-cut favorite here as far as the NFC postseason, as far as the Super Bowl goes. But Minnesota played it. They made enough key plays against New Orleans, who has a great offense that we all know about. Minnesota's got some great players on defense. And then San Francisco, that was kind of their calling card early on, and put Jimmy G in a position to kind of return from his knee injury and had the benefit of having a defense that was going to make plays, rushing the passer, and in the secondary led by Richard Sherman. Look, these teams can all play defense. And you're fooling yourself if you want to parlay Kyler Murray's solid rookie campaign, which is likely going to turn into the Offensive Rookie of the Year honor, that you're just going to move forward. And if you think you're just going to win in the Mike D'Antoni run-and-gun Suns fashion where you just outscore your opponent. It's not how it might work in the regular season to an extent, but it does not work in the NFL playoffs. And the Cardinals, they have to emphasize getting better on defense. I saw Wade Phillips, Jody, a colleague of mine, used to be his executive producer, Jody Ayler of The Drive. He thinks that Wade Phillips would be perfect fit for the Cardinals. Look, they've decided to move forward with Vance Joseph. And I think bringing in a guy like Wade Phillips would kind of make things too many cooks in the kitchen, in my opinion. And Wade Phillips has had a lot of success, not only coaching the defense of the Rams, but coaching the defense of the Broncos. And he took them to heights that I don't think either one of those organizations thought they were going to go to with Wade Phillips, but he took them there. I think it's a great, charming idea. I just think that the Cardinals, they're just in a position where they need to move forward with Vance Joseph, continue to empower him. And if it's much of the same, if they give him the players in 2020 and it's much of the same as it was in 2019, then look for the next Wade Phillips. I don't think that that's – I don't know if Wade Phillips is going to have – he's a great coach, absolutely, especially calling defensive plays. I just don't know. I think where he is in his age, where he is in his life, in his coaching career, I don't think it necessarily matches up well with the Arizona Cardinals. We can get more into that conversation tomorrow, another edition of the podcast. Thank you for listening. Give me a follow on Twitter. Hit me up at Bob Rack, at Lockdown AZ Cards. And enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. We'll talk to you on Hump Day Wednesday. It's Lockdown Cardinals, part of your Lockdown Podcast Network, your team every day.